We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
West Virginia coach Nicky Izzo-Brown previews this weekend's match against Iowa State. That's coming up right after this.
While we anxiously await the return of Mountaineer sports, there are other athletes like you trying to stay in the game. Hi, it's Tony Caridi. Whether you suit up for WVU or just play for fun, don't let an injury keep you on the bench. The state's best athletes rely on world-class care from the same WVU Medicine Orthopedics team of experts that help you with sprains, broken bones, or anything life throws at you. It is a great day to be a Mountaineer with WVU Medicine. Call 855-WVU-CARE to schedule your appointment today.
So, Nicky, you're getting ready to go. Does this feel at all normal, or are we just way beyond normal?
Great question. It's, we're trying to keep it normal, but it's way beyond normal. Our focus has been, safety first. Now we're traveling and we're getting on a flight, and we are our medical team and staff, we really have to first think safety now that we're flying hotels, bus. So that's been different. But at the end of the day, we are so thankful to play, and we're so thankful that we're going to have some competition.
Nick Farrell, go ahead.
Hi, Coach. I hope you're doing well. I want to know about Lauren Sagala, her ACL injury. Is she back to full speed? How did her recovery process go? And then as a follow-up to that, you mentioned that when you watched pro soccer restart, that there were a lot of injuries, particularly in the Bundesliga. Do you still have a fear that that could be the case for your players this season?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I am really excited for Lauren Sagala. I really feel confident that she has done everything she could do to come back and come back with a totally different mindset. I mean, she has this drive about her right now that there's no setbacks. And so she's ready, 100% ready. The injury thing, as a staff, we have continued to be mindful of that and continued to do everything we could in our power to facilitate game movements, making sure that, they've really been doing some things from a recovery standpoint, but also from just game movements. You know, we've had two scrimmages, so I think, you know, full field, so that's been really helpful. But, you know, it's different, you know, but I think the weeks that we've had, these extra weeks, are really helping.
Justin, go ahead.
He's on mute.
You got me?
Now you're there.
Okay, hey, great. Hey, Coach, thanks doing? For good. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking this time with us today. A question here on, you know, obviously just jumping straight into conference schedule. It's obviously unprecedented maybe. And you know, obviously you've got a young team here. So just kind of talk about, you know, from your standpoint, what this situation is going to be like and how unique it can be.
Well, I think you guys know me for over the years. I've had the toughest non-conference schedule, and I'd fight for in the country, right? So we didn't have that. So what we did, because when you talk about moving right into conference play, I always wanted to kind of divide our seasons up. So I was unable to do that. But what we really did and what we really tried to have the players buy into was every training session was like a game. Every training session, you know, we were recording film and cutting film from practice. So those movements and those opportunities had to be taken like we were playing Virginia or Penn State, or, you know, put ourselves in positions like we've always done in the past. So we tried to facilitate that. As we all know, we don't know where we're at until we see another opponent, but at least the players responded and they wanted that competitive environment and maybe a little bit more mindful of how important training is in those scrimmages.
Hi, Carly, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good, Carly, how you doing?
Good. Just wondering, you know, for the past 4 years, you've had Riley as a consistent girl in net, and now for the first time in a while, you have to roll out someone new. How's that position looking for you? Maybe a battle there? And also, what's the plan in being able to play in the spring? Are there rules that you have to follow for the fall in order to be eligible to play in the spring? Just wondering about that.
Yeah, so obviously big shoes to fill in Riley Foster. It is, it's been neck and neck right now. The keepers are really doing a good job battling for that start. You know, we had that transfer in from Boston College, Maddie Murphy, who's done a really good job plugging in. And of course, you guys got a little taste of Keza last year, and then Jess coming in as a true freshman. So, you know, all three have really elevated each other's games and their each other's performances in net. So it's going to be tight up until game time with that decision. Now, when it comes to rules, you know, I kind of giggle and I want everyone to giggle with me. It's been the wild, wild west, right? So with COVID, anything goes. And I don't mean that with any harsh intent. It's just, you know, I've never been part of a preseason where, or, you know, an August, a June, a July, where every conference was coming in with different rules. You know, so I think when we pull into the spring, I know the NCAA has stated that they do want a championship season. You know, they want to give us an NCAA tournament. However, it would probably be less teams than a 64, you know. So, you know, that's kind of all I know. And then, of course, training days and things like that. But I just, you know, it's been hard on the NCAA and what they have to juggle. But it's, you know, I mean, right now we're in a dead period. You know, I've never been in a dead period before in recruiting. So it's a lot of day-to-day stuff. And, for me to predict what will happen this spring, it will be very interesting, but I hope it goes back to normal. But to say that there's going to be certain rules and stuff, I don't even think anybody knows.
Okay, Greg, back to you.
Greg, you got to mute.
You're muted, Greg.
You hit unmute for me, I thought. So anyways, safety protocols for travel. Do you travel with fewer than normal or normal? And then what's game day look like? I mean, what's your sideline look like in terms of spread and mass and all those type of things?
It's been really interesting to think about something you've never experienced before. And hey, that's my strength. I'm an old lady. I got all these years in, but not COVID years. So with that being said, when we travel, you know, safety first. So we're traveling with face shields. We're traveling, of course, with masks. You know, that's a number one concern. Then when you kind of move into game scenario, now all of us are being tested. Tonight we're all being tested at 7 o'clock. Four of the referees are being tested. So all teams will be tested before kickoff. All bench personnel has to wear masks, but fists, you know, we're not probably handshaking, but you know, no masks when we play, and it'll be somewhat of a normal scenario, except personnel's on the sidelines.
Matt, go ahead.
Hi, Coach. Thank you for your time. We went with Lawrence Sagala, Gray Smith, and Jordan Brewster as the captains this year. Talk a little bit about what those girls would bring to that role and what they mean to you.
Yeah, you know, I said this, the passion and enthusiasm that they're going to bring, you know, to bring this team to excellence is going to be exciting to watch. I'm very excited to see, because I do think all three are different leaders, and I do think all three take this responsibility as a privilege and as an honor, and want to bring out the best in this team, and we'll do whatever it takes. So it's going to be a fun ride for me, and to be alongside of them, but also to make sure we have the best leadership possible.
Next question from Joe Bricado. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Coach. How are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Good.
Good seeing you.
With the way that the schedule is now laid out in the Big 12 for you, and you've got a match every Friday, you're home 1 week, away the next, does it allow you to get in some type of rhythm, some type of routine, the way everything's set up?
Yeah, I mean, I, as we all know, every day it's been very fluid, and it was, you know, I've never had a schedule come out so late in a year. So I think knowing that from my standpoint as a professional, that, you know, with our periodization and with our planning, we know Friday to Friday, right? So we know that calendar, you know, where, you know, 2 weeks ago, I didn't know that. So it's been really good for what I do as a professional to have a really good understanding of game day and what practices need to look like. So it's exciting. Then of course, like you said, to know how to perform on the road compared to being home. So it's nice. As we all know, routine is great. Schedules are great because it puts us in a position to be prepared.
Okay, Justin, back to you.
Hey, Coach, I was just kind of wondering, going back to what you were saying about this team being young, and obviously there's, you know, like you've hinted at, there's so many unknowns as far as, you know, NCAA tournament, spring play, you know, even a Big 12 tournament. With all of that said, you've got a young team. Has it been a challenge at all to go through this process with them? You know, say, hey, you know, these games still mean something. There might be, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, still to play for. What's that challenge been like with, you know, a younger group of kids?
Yeah, it has been very challenging because, you know, they haven't even understood how this all works just in a normal year. So now you throw in a COVID year and you go, okay, wait a minute. They just told me we have a schedule, but it doesn't count. But wait, now it does count. Or wait, now we might have an NC, you know? So we're just going in day to day. It's a gift. We're going to be driven. We're going to compete. We're going to go hard. We're going to get better. And every opportunity we have to win, we're going to go after it. And then whatever happens beyond our control happens beyond our control. Is that very complicated with a younger team? Yes, because they don't know. They've never played Big 12. They've never played now every Friday. You know, so there is a lot of, you know, question marks, but there's also a lot of enthusiasm too. And it's a lot of excitement. So, you know, I think obviously would rather have a more experienced team in this situation, but I'm really proud of the way we've stepped up as a group and have recognized the things we can control and the things we can't.
Next question from Kevin Kinder. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Coach, with this being kind of a benchmark for you, your 25th year here, I was looking through the list of NCAA coaches, and there are just a ton really long-tenured soccer coaches. Why is that? What is it about this sport that either attracts or develops or whatever people that are head coaches for a very long time?
Well, I do think this, and, you know, this is my take on it. I was hired very, very young. You know, we're talking kindergarten, right? So Title IX hit, and a lot of us young coaches got an opportunity that maybe coaches wouldn't get now. So you're going to find when Title IX hit, you know, back in 95 on up, you know, they didn't have people to fill those roles. So a lot of us started so young, you know, and we're able to kind of build, you know, ourselves and our profession where, you know, now I'm probably, you know, more of the normal age, probably a little older. But I think, you know, that's probably contributed a lot to this. Because our sport hit that Title IX and, you know, 25 years ago, there wasn't women's soccer like, you know, there is today. So I think that probably lays into a lot of why you're seeing the tenure that a lot of us have. Because a lot of these coaches I've started with that you're probably talking about.
Okay, three more questions in the queue here. We'll start with Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
All right, I got the unmute correct this time. Coach, the Big 12 announced thresholds for football, how many players you have to be able to have to be able to play, even some minimums at positions. So is there something similar that they've announced for soccer? You got to have at least 13 healthy players, one goalie. Have they told you anything, or is it
just up to you guys? Well, to be honest with you, on Monday, you know, so it's, you know, and we all know this, we needed football to go, right? So we needed football to go, and we want football to go. And now everybody else is getting that information. We're doing it as we're, so on Monday, you know, we were talking about that, and we're trying to get to the nitty gritty of it. So, you know, we were writing that up on Monday with the Big 12 and the coaches' call. So we do have that. You know, we have talked about, like you said, goalkeepers. You know, they're a little different than field players. So I think what we came up with, and I could be wrong because I had to write it down because so much changes, but I do think it's 14 players and a goalkeeper. So I think that was our number, but I could be wrong, and I don't have it in front of me, Greg, so I apologize. But it looks something like that, with the goalkeeper being separate from that.
Go ahead, Carly.
Coach, two more things. Jade, obviously a big facilitator in offense last year. Who do you expect to step up and score goals for you guys? And do you know why the Big 12 picked Friday as the day that you would be playing each week?
I'm going to hit Friday first. It was healthy Fridays because of keeping away from the football schedule and some hotels and things of that nature. And then I think it had to do with ESPN Plus, and then of course testing. But I think testing really drove that. And obviously some football weekends on Saturday. So that kind of made sense. Now with Jade, you know, we have Julianne Valerand, who, you know, she was our leading goal scorer up until her injury. So with her return, we're really excited about that. We've talked about Lauren Segala. And then you have Enzi Bouchard, who is now a sophomore. So we had, you know, between Jubes, I call her Jubes, and Enzi, both rookies out there. And Alina, you can't mislead our leading goal scorer, Alina Stahl.
All right, Matt, go ahead and finish this up.
Coach, by the time conference play started last year, you had played 12 freshmen and started six of them. Do you see it being a challenge, or do you foresee challenges bringing in younger players straight into conference play this year?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely. I mean, listen, I'd want 12 more weeks of training if you give it to me. So, you know, remember, I'm always Lou Holtz. We're never ready, and we always have obstacles, right? But it's challenging because as much as these kids have great experience, they have not played in a conference like this or against women that have been lifting, getting stronger, speed of play. So it is challenging, but I also feel that every day they have a tryout at practice and we get to see how they would perform. We don't necessarily have a lot of seniors this year, so that's what we're lacking to kind of put them up against. But, you know, it is, you know, you're going to question, and I'm questioning that going in, like, how is she going to do in a real game against a real opponent? But at the end of the day, I just got to use my best judgment moving forward.
And that was West Virginia coach Nikki Izzo Brown. Thanks for listening.